You know, I've got anti-malware, anti-exploit, anti-rootkit, anti-ransomware. I mean, all those pieces are in place.
Anti-anti.
Anti-Donna.
You're listening to the Help Me With HIPAA podcast, where HIPAA and humor collide to make learning fun. Your delightful hosts are Donna Grindle and David Sims. Relax. HIPAA help is on the way.
Welcome to the Help Me With HIPAA podcast. My name is David Sims of HIPAA for MSPs, and joining me is my co-host, Donna Grindle of Cardin Compliance. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning, David.
So,
afternoon.
We kind of had an email came in earlier in the week, and it got me to thinking. And the email kind of was addressed to both of us, and it came to my... I came to the conclusion that people don't understand what we do outside the podcast. Based on the email, it was not known that we actually have other jobs outside podcasting. So, just briefly, my job that actually puts food on the table is I am an IT consultant or managed service provider, however you want to call it. I do have a company in the upper South Carolina area, lower North Carolina area, Charlotte, North Carolina area. So, we do IT solutions for small businesses and healthcare providers, in short.
That's it.
Also have a membership website called HIPAA for MSPs that teaches other MSPs, IT people, how to handle HIPAA and the clients that applies to. So now, Donna, your turn.
Okay. That's, you know, a Cardin. I am the Don of Cardin. And we have solutions to help manage privacy and security requirements in your business. Primarily HIPAA, of course, but now with the changes in the world as we know it, we're doing more with legal and starting to talk to financial people. But whether it's HIPAA or the National Cybersecurity Framework or privacy issues or consulting during a breach or helping develop policies and procedures, training, lots and lots of training we do, that's kind of our wheel. There you go.
Awesome. So now you know.
That's right. So now you know.
I just have to mention that because it was when I mentioned that we actually have an IT business, they were like, what?
Yeah. Like, it's either they think that I have one or they don't know that you do. So
yeah. Donna doesn't do IT any longer.
Yeah.
Not by choice.
I can talk to people.
Not by choice. Yeah. So anyway, if you have IT needs, if I can't help you, then I do have contacts throughout the United States. Maybe I can point someone in your direction. So let me know.
We have people.
Yes, we do have people. We know lots of people.
That's it.
So before we jump into the newest thing that's absolutely all over the place and in the news about the new ransomware, not really ransomware, let's talk about where you can find us throughout the United States. In this year.
Where are you going to be? Well, July 19th, I will be in Atlanta with the Atlanta Association of Legal Administrators. I think I got it right. AALA, July 19th. Then I'm talking about cybersecurity. It's not just an IT issue, ironically, after our conversation already.
Yes.
Looking forward to that, working with legal administrators and trying to start to transition them into the privacy and security concerns that everybody else in healthcare is used to.
Mm-hmm.
Then August, we got the big boot camp.
Yes, HIPAA boot camp.
Yes, ma'am.
That'll be at thehippabootcamp.com for more information.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and you can register there, and we've got basically early bird pricing, and we're holding over the pricing from the first boot camp until July 31st. So those who were trying to make it and their schedules wouldn't let them, we're trying to give them the opportunity to get it at the same original price. Price goes up on August the 1st, but you can get all the information at helpmewithhipaa.com/bootcamp or thehipaabootcamp.com. Of course, you can send us emails because we've gotten several since we mentioned it one time.
I know.
So we're looking forward to this one. It'll be at the... Smoke Rise Country Club in Tucker, Georgia, which is near Stone Mountain and right outside of Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
That's it. August 24th and 25th.
You know, not only was the facility really good, but the food was really good too.
I know. Everybody really loved it. So we'll have to see
what we can. So yeah, that brings us to September. I will be at the UN convention in Washington, D.C. the 16th and 17th. That is an IT conference. So you can find that at unconvention.io.
Yes, and I'm actually in discussions to potentially be somewhere else in September, but I haven't worked that one out yet. And then October, I'm at the North Metro MGMA in Kennesaw, Georgia. Way up there. It's still considered a suburb of Atlanta, technically, but it's like going to another state for me. But I'll be speaking with them at their monthly luncheon. And then in November, I'm booked November the 10th at the Georgia Association of Orthopedic Executives annual meeting in Callaway Gardens. And then we're also about to lock in another one for 2 days before that. So I'll be hitting a lot of things in 3 days, but it's exciting stuff. Hopefully we'll get those worked out soon.
Awesome. So as we're recording this, there's a lot happening. And of course, by the time you hear it, it'll be a week away. But
2 weeks.
If you paid any attention at all to any news anywhere, you've heard about this new, we'll call it ransomware, and then we'll move on into why it's not. But some people call it Petya. Some people have called it not Petya. And we'll get into all that stuff. But one thing's for sure, this is somewhat of a new problem that people are having to deal with. And we have certainly covered a lot about ransomware recently with the WannaCry outbreak. But this is really more in the territory of cyber weaponry,
cyber warfare.
Mm-hmm. This is not just ransomware. So that's what we're going to dive into today.
Yeah, it's a whole new territory now. When you're battling an enemy, you have to understand what your enemy's thinking. Mm-hmm. To best defend yourself. And we now have to change the way we consider their attacks based on what's happened in this one.
Right.
There's still a lot of speculation about exactly what's going on. But the question is, was WannaCry a test run to see what could happen? Because clearly it wasn't about the money. I mean, they made like $72,000. 400,000 machines are hit, and 98% of those are Windows 7 machines.
Right.
So we had that happen in May, and then like a month later, and that was a month after they started releasing the shadow brokers, and WikiLeaks are releasing these tools that the spies have been using on us.
Yeah.
Yeah, the NSA and the CIA, they've been doing stuff, although they don't exist. but those things are being released and continue to be released. The utilization of vulnerabilities that have been used to track and infiltrate, if you will, computer systems all over the world. Well, they're now using those because the criminals have them in their hands. And I read somewhere, shadow brokers, they have, I think they have the NSA stuff and WikiLeaks has the CIA or it's vice versa. But shadow brokers actually came out and said, you can subscribe to our monthly release of vulnerabilities to use to attack.
How about that?
I know, buy a subscription, and everybody thought it was kind of weird, but now it must be working because they've increased the price. You don't increase the price if you're not getting people to pay for it.
Supply and demand, baby.
Yeah, so clearly people are getting these vulnerabilities, so we have to change the way that we're thinking about what these criminals are doing based on WannaCry and the recent NotPetya, because particularly with this one, we thought up until now, really, it was all about the money.
Mm-hmm.
And in WannaCry, we thought, well, this is just some bungling criminals.
But maybe not.
Yeah. Now it's like, maybe not, because NotPetya,
mm-hmm,
or the latest one that's come out, it's not about the money.
No.
It's about chaos and damage and destroying computers' access and those kinds of things. It's very serious. And it's like, hey, look at the moose while I'm over here doing something nefarious.
Yeah, because, for those, I'll try to dumb it down to the non-technical level somewhat, but typical ransomware, it comes in and encrypts or locks your files or sometimes even your computer. But the end result is they want you to pay a ransom and they'll give you a key to unlock your files and or your computer. So, the end game here is money. You get money, unlock the files, you get back in. Now, we won't really go into all the whole things about what you should be doing to protect yourself yet. But the difference is that NotPetya is it's locking the files and the computer at a boot up level. So when you turn the computer on, you can't even get into it. It's locking it down, but it's throwing away the key. So you can't pay to unlock it. There is no way. I mean, you can pay, but there's no key. The mechanism doesn't exist for there to be a key. It's just going to lock it down and walk away. And yeah, you're done. Hopefully you have backups because that's going to be the only way you're going to recover.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you can't, that drive is useless.
Exactly.
You know, you can't get in and do anything. It's done. And the way they do it is really sort of even trickier is they make it look like normal ransomware, which is why everybody thought that's what it was. And then when you reboot is when it destroys everything. And it's actually telling you that it's fixing things while it's destroying things.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this Petya.
Yeah.
Petya. And initially I thought it was like, you know, oh, I'm going to Petya.
Yeah, pat you on the head. I'm sorry you lost all your data.
Yeah. Petya. Then we learned it's Russian for little Peter. And still have issues with translation. Petya. Little Peter. People can do things, you know. There's some jokes that could come from that, but I'm not going to do it.
That's a,
and,
like that. Petersburg and all that stuff over there. So it's a common name.
Yeah, it's a term of endearment.
Okay, yeah. Yeah,
Petya. Little Petya. Yeah, Petya. In Russia it is, but it's the translation that I can make jokes with. But anyway, pushing it through. It seems to be that they took this software. In fact, today I just read that the hackers who used and created this ransomware Petya came out and said, look, we didn't make NotPetya. We didn't do this. Somebody took our code and bundled it with this other nasty stuff.
Okay.
And they put that initial part that makes you think it's ransomware, they did the Petya in it to make you think that. And that's what everybody thought initially. And it had everybody react like it's ransomware.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go, whoa. I mean, when you've got hackers saying that wasn't us.
Yeah.
That's some nasty stuff. That's what I'm saying.
Well, you know, the funny thing is that people talk about how new this is, but you and I are old enough to remember things like when viruses first came out. Most of the time, they were always destructive. I mean, you had like the Chernobyl virus that would go in and like, you know, rewrite the BIOS on a computer and stuff like that. I mean, it was not only, you know, like with this, you can replace the hard drive, but we've seen them where you had to replace the computer. It would fry the motherboard, so to speak. You know, this is not new stuff. It's just the proliferation of it is definitely different in how they can get it out there and make it work.
I know. It's insane that, you know, they're able to do so much more stuff and they're utilizing these tools that have been used against us technically and nobody was telling us, but that's not a discussion we're talking about. We're talking about the way this thing works and what makes it so nasty. And you know, so at this point, it's locking the hard drive and all that kind of stuff. But where it gets really scary is up until now, if you had a patched Windows device, which we talked about this after WannaCry, if your devices are patched, then you don't have anything to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not going to get hit necessarily with WannaCry.
Right.
If you got the proper things in place, which you should be doing if you are securing your systems. Well, the problem with this one is that's no longer the case.
Yeah, I know.
Because it's using, if it can get one machine, so all the people that have that one XP computer and you say, oh, we're not, you know, we just got one, and if it can get on that one machine in any way, it will destroy that machine. But before it does it, it does something called credential harvesting, which is major nerdy stuff. We don't need to go into that. But the bottom line is, we've talked about third-party passwords and all of that kind of stuff, and you've got those background stuff running using credentials that are entered into your systems. you know, and how important that is and how dangerous it is. So it's out there harvesting stuff. And once it finds one, and it's surprising just how many can be found on most computers, then it uses standard administrator network tools and starts attacking your entire network, even the ones that are patched.
Mm-hmm.
So now it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter anymore at all because now I can go get everything.
Yep.
So.
Well, but, I mean, you're only as strong as your weakest link. You can't overlook anything. I just had this conversation yesterday with a really small client, and they were like, yeah, we just have an XP computer in the corner, and it does our phone tree because that's the only OS it'll run on. Because it's, you know, 10, 15-year-old phone tree, and we need it sitting over there in the corner. I'm like, well, okay, that's fine, but disconnect it from the network. It does not need to have access to everything else.
Right.
And they're like, oh, it doesn't. It doesn't access everything else.
If it can, it will.
Yeah, it's on the network. You know? It will.
Well, and that's why, you know, I have a variety of clients that have this issue, whether it's they've got a really, really, really old software product that they can't upgrade. And it's got data on it that they're still having to pull things off of. It's almost done, but they still have to pull things off of. Well, you know what we've done with them? Is they put that computer in a locked room that only certain people have access to. It's not connected to the network in any kind of way. It's got its own little printer in there. And the printer is just a hardwired directly in USB. And you can go in, if you are authorized, to get things off of there and print it out, but it is in, it's actually in its own room locked away, not connect, you know, so not only is it not connected to the network, but you can't even go in there because we don't know that somebody wouldn't go in there and try to connect it to the network or do something else with it and utilize that into the network. So we don't even, you can't get in there.
You put that and poor then we've got computer in other timeout. People.
What?
You put that poor computer in timeout.
Yeah, it's in timeout, perpetual timeout. But it worked. I mean, that's what they needed. So we met their needs, handled their problem, and protected them. In another case, though, it's medical devices. And we talked about this before. And you've got plenty of different types of medical devices where you have to have these XP computers. And it's ridiculously expensive to replace the devices. And the vendors aren't making it upgradable from Windows XP, which is really a problem to me.
Mm-hmm.
But the overall issue that you end up with is you've got these XP computers and, you know, had one tech guy, oh, well, we just won't let it access the internet. Still, I mean, think about this. If one device can get attacked and then it scans to find others that it can get into and it finds the Windows XP because Windows XP answers questions that all the others would ignore.
Mm-hmm.
So then now it's, you know, it's killing your whole network because it now it's got a command and control center essentially on your network. So in their case, we actually, the Windows XP machines go on their own network and they can only talk and do traffic over. So if they infect anything, they're infecting themselves.
Right.
They don't, you know, they're not, it's completely segmented and they can talk back to the server and drop information off, but then they're out. Peace out. We're gone. But this is why just one machine, one, and you forget that one thing. So when we go in and we start asking questions, what's connected? Oh, it's just printers. Okay, well, you think they're not going to use those? You know, it's basically I can use one device on your network and attack your entire network. So this thing is making it very, very clear. We're not kidding when we say that.
Yep.
Yeah. But now here's the fun one. How did this thing start?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it really wreaked a lot of havoc in Ukraine.
Yeah, the Ukraine is where it started, which is a lot of the speculation about. There is some concern that hackers in the Ukraine, due to the political environment. So we're talking, here we are, the rest of the world being having computers destroyed because of politics in the Ukraine. This is the scary part.
Mm-hmm.
It's no longer about your data. It's about creating havoc in the world as we know it.
Yep. It's a war.
Yeah. And so to just say they don't want my data, no, they don't. They want to create chaos for you so that it distracts everybody from what they're actually doing. But the way that several people, now, as far as I know, the software company, they haven't committed to the fact that it was them. But who wants to do that?
Yeah.
But the many security researchers are basically calling them patient zero.
Instead of ground zero.
Patient zero, which kind of is, you know, interesting in healthcare. But patient zero seems to be from a software company called MeDoc.
Mm-hmm.
MeDoc.
You patient. You.
Apparently in the Ukraine, there is a requirement if you pay taxes that you must use certain types of software to do accounting for your taxes.
I don't use QuickBooks. There's
only two. And MeDoc is one of the two approved ones. So what they did is because that clearly is used all over the country by tons of people. So they then infected somehow a MeDoc update. And, you know, vendors put all these things in place to make sure that their stuff, this doesn't happen. And this is why it's hard for them to admit that it was them. But all these security researchers keep insisting that it started with them and one of their updates. But so imagine if they could do this to, I don't know, Adobe and one of their Adobe Reader updates.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the software companies, and I know you deal with this too. The tech people are like, oh, we're good.
Yeah.
We're good. We got this. They can't get into us.
Mm-hmm.
Overconfidence is my biggest concern with technical people.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know what type of quality assurance safeguards these things go through, but you have to think that, you know, if you're really wanting to wreak havoc, I mean, you can infiltrate a software company just like you can infiltrate a government. And,
exactly.
You know, you can be the developer working on the project and just put whatever code in there you want, depending on the, you know, the QA involved.
Yeah. I mean, these are criminals and involved in warfare. You know, they're not even criminals. They're soldiers in some cases, you know, because there are military connections to a lot of these things. There's, if you look at the FBI's Cyber Most Wanted, there's Chinese military officials on there. But when you look at what they're doing and you say, oh, well, we're good. We're that overconfidence is probably what becomes your biggest hole. You know, there's your failure right there. I was overconfident. I didn't double check. I didn't question this. I didn't document that. Any of those things. And so that's why I preach it over and over and over. Don't be overconfident as a tech person to say, oh, we're rock solid. No, you are not. Not if you believe that you're rock solid and you don't need to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently, though, one of these updates got infected and everybody's computer in the Ukraine that uses this tool went and said, hey, mom, do we have an update? And mom said, here, have breakfast, and handed over a new update. And it said, oh, yeah, it is from, I phoned home and it really was home that gave me this. And boom. No, not so much. It wasn't home. It was TNT. So, you know, those cartoons where they're like, here.
Yeah, hold this.
Hold this. that takes me back to my young days. And for those of you who listen and you are still young, you used to have Saturdays for cartoon days.
Now it's air day.
Air day. You know, you waited all week to watch your cartoons.
And anyway, made them so much better.
I know it did.
Anticipation.
That's why I would laugh so much more when they handed that TNT to, you know, it was beep, beep.
Well, you know what? It got kids out of the bed earlier because you knew that if you weren't up watching TV by 11 a.m., you missed all the cartoons.
Yeah.
Because at 12, the Westerns came out.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe we need to do a whole new version of that where we have the cartoons, but they're about people getting blown up with, oh, I don't know, ransomware and wipers and all of this. And then we switch to the battle scenes, but it's the old movies. Oh, what's the one where war games, where the computer screen.
Shall we play a game?
Yeah. Shall we play a game? But it's exactly, we're reaching that point, though. Where, you know, you've got the NSA and the CIA hacking scandals. That's just the beginning. Mm-hmm. So we're 3 months into this mess. And look at what's been able to be, you know, it's staggering is what one article called it, staggering.
Mm-hmm.
What has been able to happen. So it's dangerous what's happening. and this ability for rapid proliferation. Yeah, I had to get it in there. But that ability to do that is absolutely terrifying when you look at this. So when we say protect yourself, it's not from, oh, I want to get in and look around. Oh, I want your data. I don't care who you are now. You could be a tool in cyber warfare.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and the thing about it is, here's what scares me, is that eventually, after this happens 3, 4, 5 times, people are going to say, yeah, well, I've heard the same thing before. And yes, it's dangerous and it's global and it's all this. But I mean, nothing happened to me the other 3 times or 4 times that it happened. So I'm not really worried about it. Yeah. And then it's, you know, they start getting numb to the fact that mm-hmm. it's happening, and then until it happens to them. And then that's when it's bad. That's always what scares me, is people get so numb to it because you start hearing so much about it.
Yeah, it's that alert fatigue.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
So don't do that.
No, we're not playing. We're not playing.
Yeah. Well, you know, you and I both, we don't really get into the fear mongering that could really come from this. We could really do that. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people do. And we try not to do that. We try not to do it with compliance and HIPAA and, you know, audits and all that. We don't shove that down people's throat as a scare tactic, but it can certainly happen. But you've got to pay attention to it. You've got to understand that this is absolutely real. And people aren't just targeting you specifically anymore. It's carpet bombing. They're just, mm-hmm. they're just going out there and dropping it where it is, where it may be, and whoever it gets, it gets. And if you just happen to be at the wrong place at the wrong time, click on the wrong thing, then you're a victim. And these are not things to be played with. You're not going to call your IT companies if you don't have, you know, backups and stuff like that. You're not going to call them and say, oh, come fix this. There's not a fix.
Don't be looking at David. He can't do anything.
Yeah, unless you got a good backup. Then we could do something, but still.
The whole hard drive.
Right.
It's not like I'm going to reinstall Windows and do a wipe. No, this is huge.
Yeah, and don't say, can you get me back up and running by lunchtime? No.
No, it's not happening. You know, extend that a little further, Windows, Microsoft keeps adding these anti-ransomware features to Windows 10, and mm-hmm. supposedly they've announced there's going to be even more added in the fall, in the next release, the next big release that comes out, the Creator update. But the problem is, and you and I had a discussion about this before we started recording, and then we're like, we should be recording this.
It's kind of how the whole podcast started.
Yeah, really. It is. But the problem is, you know, back to the stats on WannaCry, 98% were Windows 7 computers. Microsoft gave away Windows 10 and couldn't get people to update.
Mm-hmm.
And now the only ones they're putting this anti-ransomware features in is Windows 10.
Yep.
So basically, they're trying to push people now into Windows 10 just by making all of the others are so, oh, well, we have a lot of security issues, but those are the old ones.
Yeah, we're not going to really, we're supporting 7, but we're really not.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know how about you, but I had a lot of people that got forced to 10. You walked into the office one day and turned the computer on and you were updated to 10.
Yeah, I know. But that first time they did that, I'm like, that doesn't happen. You have to tell it. No, every computer.
Yeah, no, it got hit with the Windows 10 update virus.
Yeah, and then they did it with the Windows 10 update virus. They did the same thing with that anniversary update where they forced you from a Windows 10.
I got that one too. So, even though I said no, I got it anyway.
Yeah, you're going to get it. Open up. Here it comes. So,
but Microsoft's going to put that out. And, you know, the bad thing about it is most IT people disable the Microsoft Defender and protections and all that because, quite honestly, they're not that great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, you could argue that it's better than nothing, but to me, it's kind of almost like a false sense of security because it just really isn't that good. And my fear is that whatever they put into place is if you can't disable that, and I'm hoping you can, if you can't disable it, it's going to interfere with the other versions of protections that people are going to put in place. So I'm hoping that's not the case.
Yeah, we've got protections in place. You know, on our systems, we're using the new Malwarebytes bundle
mm-hmm.
that, you know, I've got anti-malware, anti-exploit, anti-rootkit, anti-ransomware. I mean, all those pieces are in place.
Anti-anti.
Yeah, Auntie Donna.
got lots of stuff.
You know, it's not as intrusive having them broken out. I wasn't sure about that, but it's working out really well. We like it so far. We're still testing it, but to, you know, try it on this machine, see what happens. But the importance of everything that we do the crypto prevent, we do the anti-ransomware, we test things all the time, we make sure we patch things all the time. And yes, I know I'm paranoid.
Yeah.
You know, somebody's got to do it.
Yeah, you got to. I mean, honestly, you know, when you talk about what are the top three things that you could probably do to avoid any of these things, it's number one, I think, is training. Not just training, but testing out the end users to make sure they understand what it is you're telling them not to do. Mm-hmm. And there are ways to make that happen. You can contact Donna or myself if you want to learn about services that we offer on that.
Phishing trip.
Yep, absolutely. Outside of training, the next thing would definitely be having solid business continuity or backup solutions. And reason why I say business continuity is because you better have a plan in place to how you're going to deal with the fact that your system is going to be down for whatever amount of time that might be. Not just, oh, my system's down, hurry up and get it back up and running. You know, if you can't get to your scheduling software and you're freaking out all day long because you can't get to your scheduling software, then you have an issue.
Right.
And it's not an IT issue. You have a fundamental issue that you didn't have a plan in place to address that should it happen.
It could happen at any time.
Exactly.
So you need to sit down with your staff and say, it's Friday afternoon. If we walk in on Monday morning and nothing is working, how do we see patients? How do we help our clients? How do we run our business and keep it up and running? And nothing's working when we come in on Monday morning because something happened over the weekend, whether we got hit by a bolt of lightning.
Seen it.
It's like, we've covered it.
Yeah. We've been there.
Been there. We covered it. But that whole thing, you know, I was in South Georgia recently, and while I was down there, the tropical storm Cindy's out there churning around, throwing rain on us the whole time, and we knew it was coming ashore. And you live that close to the coast, you're used to having to worry about these things. And one of the things I said in the meeting was, okay, here we are. You know that storm's out there. We've all been looking out the window seeing it when the bad one's coming, you know, the next bad storm's coming. So imagine that you come in tomorrow and a bolt of lightning, very, very likely, we, as you've said, seen this, hits your building, starts a fire, the fire department responds, puts it out, your building doesn't burn down. However, when you come into work, you have no power in your building. The fire department that was so good about putting the fire out, all that water and whatever residue from it is in the building. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, it was pouring down rain. What do you do? And then there was that pregnant pause. And a lot of blinking.
Well, I know. I mean, we had a client got hit by lightning about 3 weeks ago and didn't burn the building down. But actually, I saw something I've never seen in my 20 years of IT. It actually fried the end of a Cat 5 cable. Never seen it.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I never seen it before. And I unfortunately, I didn't take a picture of it before I threw it in the trash. But I've seen it actually melt the end of the Cat 5 cable.
Wow.
And interestingly enough, it didn't damage all the equipment. I don't understand it. Crazy. Lightning is crazy. But
you got some surge protectors that help some.
Yeah. But the third thing in my little list, if I had to give, you know, top three things to look at, is making sure you have multiple levels of security. You know, like Donna just mentioned, you know, it's not just antivirus. It's not just ransomware protection. It's not just anti-exploit protection. I mean, it's edge of your network type stuff. So you make sure your routers have security stuff built into them. And you just like you protect your home with multiple levels of security, you need to do your network the same way. Because nothing is 100%. So the more layers you can put in there, hopefully the more ways you can filter that from having an issue.
Yes.
That's all I needed from you. I just needed your approval.
I've made your day. I think that the whole point here is the things that we have been discussing all along that you need to do under HIPAA, again, would have primarily, in almost all cases, protect you if you have all of those things in place, you have the proper security controls and you've trained your staff and they're not doing the phishing and you test them to see if they are and they truly understand it. And, you know, there's some places I was talking yesterday with a marketing, a dude in marketing that one of the companies I work with. And he said they have, it's changing their marketing plans because now you can't send an email with a link to information because many companies won't let you click on a link. That's any link.
Yeah, good idea, really.
Yeah, I mean, no links. We can't click on a link, period. And then if you supply it and you say copy and paste this, you're still doing it with somebody that's not technical. Mm-hmm. So are they going to know it? And, you know, it's becoming an issue so that everything we know is beginning to have to change.
Yeah, well, even what we've started doing is we have a portal, just like I know you have a portal for your clients. We have a portal for ours. So instead of us sending links to documents and things like that, we don't do that anymore. We put those things in their portal, and they have to go to the portal to get them, just like you do with your bank.
Mm-hmm. And it's unfortunate, and I know there's a lot of people, oh, I don't want to do that. I want you to just send it to me. Well, you're going to reach the point where you're going to have to elect not to use technology. See, I mean, you know, you're going to go back to making a phone call. And that's actually, you know, the marketing solution is for right now, we're having to call people if we want them to get information and explain it to them and take them to the website. So now you've got the need for shorter links and all of those kind of things. So it's going to be an interesting ride, but we're just seeing the beginning of it.
Yeah.
The important part.
I'm interested in how OCR responds to this because, you know, they've responded to the ransomware and what that means, and it's considered a breach unless you prove otherwise, and you have to call the authorities and you have to do all this stuff. They've responded to that, but this is not really the same thing.
Yeah, well, this still affects CIA.
It does, but it's not the whether or not somebody's getting into your system and seeing things anymore.
No, so they're not taking it away from you. You have lost control.
Right. So it'd be interesting to see if they pretty much say this is the same thing and we're going to treat it the same, or they're going to come up with something different in how they respond to it. So I'm just kind of interested in what they say.
Well, they have been publishing on their cyber alerts throughout the week. They were publishing information saying they were monitoring what was happening, and there have been some healthcare entities affected, and they were reiterating again, this is what you're supposed to do if you suffer an attack and in any kind of incident. So they're publishing information. The problem is people don't look at it.
Yeah, that's what they're for.
Yeah, that's it. That's why you better be listening to us so you don't have to read all that other stuff.
Because I said so.
I don't have time to explain it, David. It's because I said so. All right, so here's the important stuff. Important things to know is they ain't playing. You've got to change how you think because the world you live in is changing. It's not about the money. It's not about your data. It's about creating chaos and utilizing you as a pawn in a bigger picture. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter to them whether or not you need to see patients or run a business. That no longer matters.
Yep. And pawns get sacrificed.
That's right. And pawns get sacrificed. There you go. We've now decided what the title of this one's going to be.
Not a bad one, actually.
I like it. Pawns get sacrificed. Are you a pawn?
Yeah.
So, hunker down. There you go. Hunker down.
Hunker down.
Hunker down, you hairy dog. Okay, that's a UGA thing. University of Georgia is SEC.
All right, we better go close it off. We're done. Yeah. Donna's off in left field.
Yeah. It's all Friday. Right, I'm ready to roll.
Yeah. All right. That's our show for today, folks. We thank you for listening. As always, you can visit us on the web at helpmewithhippa.com or thehippapodcast.com. We'll answer to either one. You can visit us at any of our social media outlets. You can also share us out on your social media outlets. Go to not only iTunes, but the new Stitcher. We have Stitcher stuff now. So go there, listen, and rate us on Stitcher. Please. We need the ratings.
We're begging. David's begging. I'm asking nicely.
Yeah, we don't have any on Stitcher yet because we just started with Stitcher.
We got one.
Oh, okay. We got one. So So jump out there, put it, put some ratings out there on Stitcher. We much appreciate it because, you know, we do bring this to you for free. So that's the least you can do. If you have any questions, you can do that right there on the front page of our website. We do have a lot of questions that come in on email, but you can also do an audio question on our site if you want to do that. And we may feature it in a future podcast. So remember, for Donna and myself, HIPAA is not about compliance. It's about patient care.
You've been listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, hosted by Donna Grendel and David Sims, the show created to help you with HIPAA. For more information or to ask us a question, visit our website at helpmewithhipaa.com. Neither Donna Grendel or David Sims are attorneys, and they do not offer binding legal advice concerning regulatory compliance. The information in this podcast should not be relied upon or construed as legal advice in any way. Consult your attorney for legal advice concerning compliance with HIPAA regulations.